Hello. It's the fifth Sunday in Lent, and we continue thinking about God's love with God So Loved. During the service, we asked what was people's favourite Bible verse or story, and lots of different answers were given. Very interesting. And one that came up from a couple of people is John 3:16. And that's helpful because that's the one we're going to be thinking about today. John 3:16-17. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. For God so loved the world. The key verse in the whole of Scripture, the verse that sums up the Gospels, the good news of God's love. Before we unpack it some more and what it might mean for us, let's set the scene. John chapter 3 tells us about one of the religious leaders, Pharisees, called Nicodemus, visiting Jesus at night. He's sneaking in to see Jesus so no one sees him. For him to be seen with Jesus then would have been bad for his reputation, and who knows what else. Jesus is a controversial figure to be seen with. Nicodemus seems to really want to know who Jesus is. He asks some good questions, but Jesus doesn't answer directly. He often doesn't in John's Gospel. But instead, Jesus says, to see the kingdom of God, you have to be born again, born from above by water and spirit. A rebirth is needed to become a completely new person and start life again. And this can only happen by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then, after this dialogue, comes John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. During Lent, we've been thinking about God's love, Jesus' love. This verse tells us that God, the creator of the universe, loved and loves the world, the cosmos, the whole of his creation. He isn't some distant tyrant who looks on without caring what's going on. He's not some petulant child who needs to be kept quiet with gifts, sacrifices. Our God is a loving God, a loving Father. And out of this love, God gave. He freely gave something to us. It's not about us offering something to him, but totally the other way around. Our God doesn't give a good harvest or wealth or wine. This is what people sacrifice to the pagan gods to receive. No, our good God gives something else, something much more precious. He gives his one and only Son, Jesus, born of the Virgin Mary. John and the other three Gospel writers tell us more about Jesus' life, teaching, miracles, and most importantly, his death and resurrection. But what do we have to do? God loves the world so much that he gave his one and only Son. What does he expect back? Believe. Trust. Have faith. That's simple. We believe that Jesus is God's Son. Trust that what he said and did not only help us to lead better, nicer, kinder, more worthwhile lives, but that they show a deep truth, a deep love that underlies the universe, God's creation. Much of our lives we try to avoid one sad truth. No one gets out of life alive. We've had plenty of time this year particularly to realise we'll all die one day, and we do not know when. But when we die, is that it? We just cease to be. So why do we hopeful yearn for more, for life after death? Is this because of some sense of ego or pride, or we're so important we can't possibly stop? Or is it because God has placed infinity in our hearts, as the Bible says? We are made to live with God forever and to enjoy him. The purpose of our lives is to live with God forever and to enjoy him. To enjoy this eternal life, all we need to do is believe Jesus, have trust and faith in him. Faith in Jesus doesn't mean blindly taking everything in the Bible at face value, or everything the preacher says, or everything you hear from different churches on God TV or on the internet. That's not true faith. Faith means we come to the Bible as the Word of God to help us understand God, to help us understand our world better, to see things as God sees them. God has given us brains, and he's given us voices, and he's given us ears to think, to speak, and to listen. And he wants us to use them. Faith, belief, trust, these are not entirely rational things, though. You can't think your way into the kingdom. Remember what I said earlier? Jesus says, you have to be born from above, born again. Our heads will only get us so far in life. Our hearts have to come along too. Faith, true faith, requires the heart and the mind and the soul to work together. Sometimes being part of a church can hinder our faith. Other things than Jesus can set the agenda, keeping the building going, just being nice people, helping our neighbours with various projects, being project driven. These can be good things, but they may not be God things. They may not be the best thing that we can do. And most importantly, none of those things will save anyone. Only Jesus saves. And the unique thing about the church, the one thing the church has that no other organisation have, is Jesus as our centre, our founder, the one who keeps us going. So as church, we want to trust and believe in Jesus and proclaim his good news to the world. Sometimes we think that belief in Jesus excludes people, but does it really? Verse 17 says, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Not to condemn, but to save. Jesus isn't condemning the world, but saving the world. As we follow him, that's the message we share. There's rescue from the dark places we find ourselves in physically, the dark places we find ourselves in emotionally, spiritually, and we can be rescued simply by believing in Jesus. I'm going to read something from a book that I only read this passage a couple of days ago for myself, and I thought I'd share it. To save someone means to pull that person out of danger so that he or she is not hurt and a life is not lost. It means to liberate from oppression or to open the doors of a prison and let the prisoners go free. It means to heal or to make whole. Jesus came to save us from all those fears that close us up in ourselves. He came to liberate us and open us up to love. He came to give us the very life of God so that it may flow in us and through us. It flows in us because Jesus was lifted up on the cross, lifted up in his resurrection, lifted up in the glory of his Father. To open ourselves up to this new life is like making a journey or going on a pilgrimage. The life of faith is a pilgrimage. So I'd invite you now to consider John 3:16. Put aside your religious background and whatever you've heard from church, whether that's Fern Park Baptist, Park Chapel URC, Union or Stroud Green Baptist. Put aside what you read in the papers. Hear that verse as if for the first time and ask God for his help to believe in him. To return to your first love, Jesus, or perhaps to love Jesus for the first time. Ask for a divine revelation of God.